from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Oh, powerful words. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It's July 14th. It's Wednesday, the Prime Life Times in Review, 2021, the year of the Lord. Is that how
yeah,
they
well,
used
you
to
say the year
it?
Of the Lord
the
first.
Year of the, Lord. Of our Lord.
The year of our Lord, 2021.
It is. It's a great day. It's a maybe a fresh start for someone that just accepted Jesus into their heart.
Well,
maybe
exciting.
This is the first day in their new life. Or
wonderful.
For you senior saints, it's another wonderful day where we can ask God to order our steps and allow the Spirit to work in and through us. And for many others of us, it's another great day because God is alive and He has a plan and purpose for our lives. So
yeah.
I do share that 1 Corinthians verse primarily because we couldn't find one that would fit with this article about to read. But the other reason is I've been camping out in 1 Corinthians for about 2 weeks now. Almost every day I've been rereading and reading basically about the first six chapters.
By the time
I get to about chapter six,
yeah.
I fall asleep.
Mark, what will happen is you'll almost have it. I mean, you just have it in your spirit, and you'll almost have it memorized. And you won't have memorized it. You'll just have it in there in context. That's an awesome thing to do.
Well, I've been ministered to by reading this each and every night. And I told Jason a few days ago, I said, I'm thinking when we finish up with James.
When will that be? Next
Friday.
Year?
Well, we're in the fifth chapter.
Right.
So
you guys are trucking right along.
Yeah, it's been a year or two with James, but probably in another month or so. I'm not sure exactly when we'll land the plane, as they say, but I said, maybe we'll go into 1 Corinthians on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I just have been loving various aspects of this, but it parallels with some other teachings and things that people have shared that, you know, when you see those patterns of three, when somebody talks about this and then you hear a message on this and then you read something about it, it seems like 1 Corinthians is filled with a lot of these countercultural thoughts. Like, we do it this way, but that's foolish in God's wisdom. He does it this way. And so Dr. Webb has talked about countercultural, Pastor Jason has, and a few other people, where so much of what we do is influenced by the world. You know, we work hard, we put forth our effort, we do it this way. But generally, in God's economy, it's almost contradictory or it's the opposite.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm a doer. Instead of me running out and doing something, how much have I spent praying it up? And sometimes that's countercultural. We want to do and be a part of instead of just allowing God to be glorified through it. And, you know, a lot of this 1 Corinthians begins with, this is wisdom to God, but it's foolishness to man. And
well, that's really good, Mark.
Anyway, so I've been getting pretty excited, so I wanted to share and open up with that today. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Mm.
And I think we oftentimes even leave out that crucified part.
Yeah.
We want to talk about, you know, this wonderful, glorious Savior, but He shed His blood. He was battered. He was beaten. He was violated on our behalf. And sometimes we have to really take to heart the suffering that He did for us. And
you know, there's a Lutheran church in Champaign, and I think it's around Easter, but really for like almost 2 months, they have on the sign on the front of their church, we know Christ and Him crucified.
Oh,
and every time I drive by there, I'm like, wow, that's a reminder.
Yeah, this 1 Corinthians, I hope we're going to be dividing it in the coming days. I keep reading it, and like I said, I get to about chapter 4 or 5, and then I fall asleep, and so then I want to start up again, and then next night...
Well, you know, there's two Corinthian books, so this could take a long time if you go through both, and your pattern of threes. Now, there is no 3 Corinthians, Mark.
Oh, that's right. It's funny, Karen, when I was telling Karen, our office manager, about 1 Corinthians, she says, oh, I recently finished that. I'm in 2 Corinthians now. So I said, oh, great. So
that's great.
You know, any of God's
word. So does either of you remember the Slavic Gospel Association with Peter Dynikas, senior and junior? Well, I was a missionary with them for some years, smuggling Bibles and so on. And their byword was, we preach Christ, crucified, risen, and coming again. I don't know if I could still say it in Russian, but... You know, I'd be somewhere and they say, okay, now Rob will preach in Russians.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Okay. I struggled a little with it, but I did it.
That's so great. Yeah. That's great.
Another thing I want to point out, and Marianne, you and I have been praying and talking a little bit about this, but our love for the hymns, the great songs
of the past,
and the various arrangements and ways that some of them have been modernized a bit, but they still contain those great lyrics and words. Well, Robert J. Morgan and I have been corresponding through email, and he's up for being interviewed, and I'm working out a deal to get 30 or 40 or 50 copies of, I think it's the subtitle is The 150 Great Hymns of the Past. Mm-hmm. And the goal will be probably in the beginning of August to go through a series of readings from his book, and then also play some hymns or arrangements. Maybe
this
we'll
is
play
great for
the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir's version of something, and then maybe Steve Green or another artist. So.
And for those who don't know, we just finished Robert J. Morgan's long series. Well, his book is not as long as we made it.
But we turned it into about 2 years worth of Mondays.
And that was 100 Bible verses you should know by heart.
Yeah, yeah.
And now we're going to go to the 100 hymns.
Yeah, this is 150.
Oh.
So I think we might have to
Before you two were born,
we used to have some Sunday nights, we'd have a hymn sing.
Yeah.
Well, I remember
hymn sing. Well, I understand.
Yeah.
So I was invited to a hymn sing Sunday night in Mahomet at the Lake of the Woods Church, but I didn't make it because Mary wasn't feeling well. Anyway, maybe we'll go to one of those.
Yeah,
maybe we'll even host one.
Yeah.
Now, I'm still working on like a 4-day revival, or I don't know
if it's going to be a workshop or something,
4 nights in a row. Maybe at the end of September, sometime in September, we'll have 4 of our different ministry leader network pastors leaders sharing and presenting. And so I have 2 on board already. A 3rd is considering, and we'll probably set up here at Lincoln Square. And we're praying that all
but
through.
But a hymn sing.
Yeah,
him
singing would be, I think, another thing that we
can
do.
Can we make
sometime.
Like a huge chart and put it on our wall of all the things that we that roll off of your time that we're going to do?
That Mercy Me is coming to town. We'll be giving away some tickets once I receive them. They're coming to the Assembly Hall on November 6th. And there's something else happening that day, November 6th. I interviewed somebody that same day. Oh, that's the health fair that we're going to have at Lincoln Square.
Oh,
we're
my
helping
word.
To sponsor.
Yeah, that's
going to
be great, though.
Yeah,
I hope people come.
Well, more to say about that in the days ahead, but it seems like the Lord's keeping us hopping and jumping. I can say hopping now that we have this bunny, our bunny Rose, that I have to pet and attend to each and every day.
Oh,
so
nice.
We're hopping around here and thankful for the Lord that he's given us this new day, and he's who we want to proclaim and testify to and honor and serve. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's our Savior who, in fact, went to the cross and shed his blood on our behalf. And we're eternally grateful and appreciative. So,
we are.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, it's Wednesday, which means we generally open up our Prime Lifetimes, our beloved publication that's informative, engaging, and positive. And you two help it be that way as we have our editor-in-chief, Marianne Simpkins, and our copy editor, the...
Not in chief.
He is copy editor.
Always effervescent, Rob.
He's great.
Seedberg.
Rob is great. He's great.
Very kind.
And he's going to read...
I have my reward already.
Oh, my goodness. Rob's always saying that when I say, oh, thank you, Rob, you did this, you did that. This is so great. He's like, no, don't let me lose my reward. And so, that's so great. I love it. I always think about that. So he is going to read on page A4 of the July edition, Meet Me at the Fair. And apparently, we don't have his byline on here. It just says Prime Lifetime Staff Writer.
There wasn't room in the paper for the byline.
Oh, that's not true. But anyway.
Yeah, your byline is so long.
It's too long.
That's it. It's
and
a book in itself.
And that big picture of him with that sombrero on his head sometimes.
But apparently he was talking to my brother Ron the other day, and Ron said, I think you might have written that, Rob. So I'm looking forward to you reading it.
Yeah, I might have written it.
You might have. Okay.
Okay, we're on page 4, which is... designated here as A4, in case you have the paper in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do this if you're driving.
Oh, God.
Meet me at the fair. Fairs are ancient. We don't know when they started, but the remarkable prophet Ezekiel, 6th century B.C., discussed Tyre's trade fairs. You can read that for yourself in chapter 27 of the Old Testament book by the same name in the Bible. Tyre's commercial network extended across the ancient world, involving merchants from the Mediterranean world and even Africa. These fairs were held right on the Mediterranean. They featured an exchange of goods such as metals, jewels, military supplies, livestock, and foodstuffs. Centuries later, the annual British Scarborough Fair, established in 1253 by royal charter.
Would you recommend that?
I recommend the song.
Scarborough Fair.
He was back there. Scarborough Fair. He was back alive then in 1253.
That fair ran for 45 days yearly, attracting thousands of merchants and buyers from the British Isles, Scandinavia, the Netherlands, and from as far away as the Byzantine Empire. So that would be in Turkey today. Pretty good distance. Scarborough, a coastal Yorkshire city, provided an ideal site for international trading, buying, and selling. These early British fairs also afforded competitions for farm animals and agricultural products. Vendors prepared special foods. Now, you're going to notice a recurring theme about vendors and special foods.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm thinking, too, time of Solomon, you know, there was all that trading going on where he was getting baboons and horses from different parts of the
Cedars
world.
Cedars of Lebanon.
Yeah, and by the way, you don't have to pay any entrance fee to Champaign County Fair if you tell them you're going in to get food. But don't cheat. Don't watch anything else. Just eat food.
Well, that's a good little tidbit.
Okay. So I have a gold mine over there, but I'll tell you about that in another program. Locals earned good revenue until 1383, when the nearby Seymour Fair cut into profits and doomed Scarborough Fair. The Scarborough Fair market experienced a brief revival in the 18th century, but competition from other fairs again forced it to close in 1788. On May 1st and 2nd of this year, Scarborough's Renaissance Festival commemorated that once famous fair.
How many hours did you research this article?
He just knows a lot.
No, this is probably about a 12-hour research project, something like that. This is a commissioned article, by the way.
I did ask him to write it. That's true.
It's like when you write a doctoral dissertation or a master's thesis, there are two kinds, the kind you think up yourself and the kind your advisor says, you write about this. That's a commissioned one.
Okay. I said, Marianne
is my advisor.
Write about the fair.
Trade fairs still abound throughout Europe, as they have for centuries. However, last year, Europe's typical showcase of new products suffered from pandemic-canceled trade fairs. And by the way, I've been to trade fairs in Eastern Europe. It's pretty interesting. People, representatives are there to buy and sell from all over the world. Fortunately, Frankfurt, Germany's annual book fair is back on for October 20 through 24th this year.
Do you have your tickets?
I'm thinking about it, honestly. Equitana, the world's largest horse fair, has been held in Germany since 1972. Typically operating for 9 days, last year and this year are seeing COVID-19 cancellations. The Pferden Northern Germany Horse Championships went on as planned last year, but with limited attendance. The city name Pferden is an old spelling of Pferden, horses. Meanwhile,
I should point out, the reason I laugh is one is V-E-R-D-E-N and the other is P-F-E-R-D-E-N.
And they're pronounced almost identically. Right. And by the way, my German daughter is from that area. And so her dad, they're all horse experts.
That's why you know how to say it.
Mazel
tov.
No, it's okay.
Whoops, wrong place.
Meanwhile, the Equitana has been emulated by horse fanciers in Australia, New Zealand, and most recently, the United States. A Roman feria, F-E-R-I-A, a religious celebration, brought together many pagan worshippers. So you can see the root of fair and feria, I think. Not missing the opportunity to make a profit, merchants set up booths in nearby fields. Such commercial fairs frequently coexisted with market days, allowing livestock buyers or sellers to compare for sale stock or market their ready-to-sell stock.
And this is what some of those people were doing around the temple when Jesus overturned the tables. They were turning it into
so let's sell cotton candy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, early commercial fairs coexisted with religious gatherings and festivals. Early Christian churches sponsored fairs on feast days. Do our church bazaars, bake sales, and fundraising dinners hark back to those early fairs? The first Western Hemisphere fair took place in 1765 at Fort Edward, Nova Scotia, now the Hants County Fair. It's the longest continuously held agricultural fair in North America and has been held every year since 1815 at the Hants County Exhibition Park near Windsor, Nova Scotia. The Coles County Fair, Illinois' oldest, has been held annually since 1854. Today's fairs encourage competitive exhibits of seed grain, baked goods, honey, canned goods, garden produce, crafts, photography, other art, sewing, and much more.
Ooh, makes me want to go.
Yeah, I can tell you a secret about selecting seed oats, but I won't tell it on the air.
Okay.
It's too big a secret, but I learned it from my uncle, who always won first prize every year with his seed oats.
Okay.
Acting troops and puppeteers do a brisk business at such fairs, as they have for centuries. The grandstand provides entertainment, including horse racing, extremely noisy tractor pulls, grain combine demolition derbies, think Fisher Fair, right? And a variety of on-stage performances.
You always know it's going to rain when they schedule the Fisher Fair.
There you go.
Oh, really?
Like, oh, yeah.
It's I'd like say 90%, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Modern American county fairs may feature new farm implements, emerging technology, horse racing, livestock judging, and 4-H club project judging. Additional activities can include an egg toss, an egg race, carrying a raw egg on a spoon.
I don't get that.
On a spoon. Hog calling contests. I can tell you didn't grow up on the farm. Three-legged races.
What's the purpose?
Usually to see who can win.
Oh, sorry.
Three-legged races, usually for youngsters, grease pole climbs, and even baseball games. For millennia, food vendors have always shown up at such events. Today, no fair is complete without deep-fried food of so many varieties as to boggle the imagination. Deep-fried pickles, Oreos, macaroni and cheese, green tomatoes, candy bars, and so forth. Elephant ears, cotton candy, ice cream, and lemon and orange shake-ups are popular, too. Carnival rides.
Oh, wait, I want to stop for a minute. I was being distracted by my phone. That was an important
call,
but I had to shut it off. But we're trying to work out a food vendor truck or two for some special days in Springfield.
I want to go.
Have them parked outside the studio and
they
invite people to come.
They will show up. You tell
Why
them to come, they will come.
Why can't we do that here?
And I found one that had, like, all the carnival fun foods.
Oh,
and they were
wow.
from out of state, and I'm trying to work on scheduling them in.
How far out of state?
I like corn dogs.
or have, like, Taco Tuesday, so you come by the station on Tuesday, and, you know, we're trying to work all out. We're trying to work.
Don't have deep fried pickles and things
there you
like
go.
That.
Yeah, yeah, okay, but we might have two different trucks, so there'd be one more food and one more fun foods and
Neat.
Desserts and cotton candy and such. And we're trying to put together also a meet and greet for the staff
as
to introduce Tim
meet,
Nelson,
M-E-T.
But bring you there also and some of the radio staff. Maybe we'd even have Rob come along because
right.
he's kind of a staple on Mark and Friends.
You're a staple,
yeah, yeah.
Rob.
but anyways, yeah, so these food trucks, I've been investigating different vendors and how to schedule them and how to have them available. So,
that's great.
Yeah, and I really can't come to a meet and greet anymore because my doctor made me a vegetarian. So, okay, I'm kidding about that. Elephant ears, cotton candy, ice cream, and lemon and orange shake-ups are popular, too. Carnival rides entertain the kids, and booths offer games of chance, from shooting a plastic duckling to tossing a ring over the neck of a bottle to win a prize. You can buy a Mexican cowboy hat, a stuffed toy, an umbrella, or rain poncho, or a pair of sunglasses.
We're switching the page.
Yeah,
we're
going
page
to A15 if you're not in the car driving. Okay. Some modern specialized exhibitions, many have names other than fairs, include the Farm Progress Show, Old Settlers Events, Rentals, Half Century of Progress, Penfield's Historic Farm Days.
You've missed something.
No, no.
Or a pair of sunglasses. You can stroll the fairway. Did you say that?
Yep.
Oh.
Okay. Some modern specialized exhibitions, many have names other than fairs, include the Farm Progress Show, Old Settlers Events, Rentals, Half Century of Progress, Penfield's Historic Farm Days, and Arthur's Horse Progress Days. Indiana offers a Tri-State Gas Engine and Tractor Show. The Tri-State Association's 56th annual show is scheduled for August 25 through 28, 2021.
Year, year of our Lord.
<Go ahead.
laughs> I like saying that. I say it a lot.
Current era. Oh, no, sorry.
No. well, that too, but go ahead.
Cory Dunn's Harrison County Fair is Indiana's longest continuously running fair, held in the same location for over 160 years, since September 1860. Man, I can barely remember that.
Oh, gee.
Yeah.
Harrison County and Cory Dunn celebrated their common bicentennials at the 2008 fair. Expect to walk a lot, see a lot, and eat a lot at the fair. You might get sunburned, dehydrated, or worn out. I saw a man at the fair wearing a backpack.
Wow, I can't wait to go.
No, it sounds so fun.
I saw a man at the fair wearing a backpack chair so he could sit and rest. Fortunately, courtesy tents often let you sit and rest in the shade. You might get a tummy ache from all the food or get dizzy on a ride, hopefully not simultaneously. If that happens, remember that fairgoers around the world have suffered similarly at fairs for millennia. I hope that makes you feel better. Now for some deep-fried food.
Oh, my goodness. Hey,
PLT staff writer.
What was that article we read, the little fried things that you would burn your hands when you'd eat them out of the pan?
The pig things. What was that, Rob? The pig things you used to eat on pigs?
Oh, cracklins.
Cracklins. Yeah.
I didn't see that in this article,
no,
Rob.
They aren't at the fair.
You know what?
That's a one-day thing.
But you can buy cracklins in town.
Yeah, but you said they aren't as good.
Well, they're in big chunks, you know.
Uh-huh.
Ours were little bitty ones. We chopped them up before we rendered the lard. And
you ate so many, you would always have tummy aches.
Always. And the older folks around would say, hey, don't eat so many. You get a stomach ache. We did, and we did. We did.
I want to go back to orange and lemon shake-ups instead of fried, deep-fried things.
Yeah, I would not eat deep-fried things at a fair anymore.
Oh.
I don't know.
Even those little donuts? That's what I had
that's
at
good
that one.
Too.
Donuts are off the diabetic diet.
Oh, that's right. Rob's on a special, important diet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's so many things I can't eat that I have to stop and think before I... Because one day, after I'd been a vegetarian for 2 weeks, you know, my doctor just went like this and made me a vegetarian. He waved his hand, just like that.
Yes.
A meat lover for many years. And so one day, I was with my conversation partner from Malawi, and my wife said, she called and said, honey, on the way home, can you pick up Culver's? I said, yeah. In fact, I'll bring Maya home with me, and you can meet him. So off I went to Culver's. And bought some cheeseburgers and fries and onion rings. You can't say French fried onion rings. They get confused. They don't understand that's how it started.
Oh,
no,
today,
just onion rings.
Yesterday was National French Fry Day. Anyway, go ahead.
And last month was National Ice Cream Month. Anyway, so actually what happened was I forgot.
I hope you can reel this in. I forgot I was
a vegetarian and ate a cheeseburger.
Oh.
What a backsliding guy, I'll tell you. Okay.
You'll make it, Rob. You'll make it.
We'll pray for you.
I won't ask you to write about fair food.
All right, everyone. This was all in this month's edition, the July edition of the Prime Lifetimes, available at over 350 locations and growing. Pick up your copy today or find it online, primelifetimes.com, primelifetimes.com. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Rob Seidenberg with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.